Last week in my Ascension sermon, I spoke on how we seem to have a bit of a muddled idea of heaven and earth. This is not helped by theologically suspect hymns that we seem to sing and stained glass windows in our churches that we seem to gaze on, especially those dodgy ones with clouds and Jesus's feet sticking out the bottom of them. Last week I made the comment that heaven is another dimension. It's not another place. Heaven is not somewhere out near Pluto or beyond the Kuiper Belt, but it's actually very near to us and is able to intersect our human life, if only tangentially, in the here and now. I also made the comment that the events of Jesus' birth, life, death, etc., while they may appear to be separate, and they are, but they are also connected. And this is true for Pentecost. It is connected to the Ascension and helps us make sense of the Ascension, and so we have to have a proper understanding of Pentecost, like we need a proper understanding of Ascension, or else we will fall into error. And so we start to wrestle with it more forcefully than we have done in the past, or at least we ought to. But before we delve headlong into the events of Pentecost, it's important to be reminded what Pentecost actually was and still is. It's a Jewish harvest festival. The nation were to come together as a nation on three occasions: unleavened bread, which included Passover, and during that time, what they were to do is to present their very first upcoming harvest, or their very first fruits. They would wave it before the altar of the Lord. Pentecost was the main harvest festival that first fruits anticipated. And there, on the Feast of Pentecost, they gave thanks to God for their gathered crops, and they came in from all over the countryside, just like they did for Passover. It was 50 days after Passover, hence the name Pentecost. Later, they would gather again as a nation for the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the final ingathering festival and a reminder of their sojourning in the wilderness for the 40 years. Now, I'm going to make a statement that may upset some people and is a bit at odds at what we will say in the preface in the service a little bit later on. But don't tune out just yet. Wait to the end before you decide whether I am mad, wrong, or just a heretic. Pentecost is not the birthday of the church. It is simpler to make it seem that way, and in one sense it certainly gives rise to the missionary zeal that the early leaders of Jerusalem had, who then go out and proclaim the Lord Jesus, that brings about the church. But to say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church is to miss much more important points and realities about what Pentecost is about and why it's so important in the church. In the Hebrew scriptures, we see the Spirit at work quite often and at critical points in the history of God's interaction with his creation and people. The Spirit is there in chapter 1 of Genesis, brooding over the waters of creation. We see the Spirit blow through the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel. We see Elijah taken up by a rushing wind and fiery chariot. The Spirit of God falls on Moses and the 72 elders and they prophesy. It comes on Othniel and he's able to judge wisely. The Spirit rests on David and on Solomon and many other examples. But in the examples of Genesis and Ezekiel, the Spirit of God is about creation, starting something new, the new creation, the restoration. In Genesis, the Spirit restores order from where there has been chaos. And in Ezekiel, the Spirit of God restores the house of Israel who have been cut off by sin. I think these two examples are closest to what is happening here in Acts 2. The whole story of Israel has reached its climactic point with Jesus. He is the one true Israelite who is able to do what faithless Israel was not able to do, to bring people into right relationship with God and to bring about the new Israel who will indeed be faithful to God. Israel, as you would easily recall, were to be the light to the nations, something like what happened in David's time and reached its zenith in Solomon's. Kings and queens came to see the glory of the Lord in the nation of Israel under Solomon. However, after this high point, everything went south rather rapidly. Jesus represents what Israel was meant to be, but spectacularly failed to be. Faithful to God and calling people into right relationship with God, who made them in his image and likeness. Pentecost does two things. It unites heaven and earth, and it enables the disciples to move into their true calling, being witnesses of the Lord Jesus. Last week I said that heaven was another dimension. It was close by. The wind doesn't come from outer space. It comes from the natural world. The tongues of flame simply appear. They do not come from elsewhere. They come from heaven, but heaven is not that far away. It is another dimension which at this time intersects and connects with our world. Jesus goes to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes from the throne of God, the place where Jesus now lives, and therefore the Feast of Pentecost connects us with Jesus, who is in heaven, and thereby connects us with heaven. This is part of the on earth as it is in heaven in the Lord's Prayer. This is how what happens in heaven can happen on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. In a very real sense, the disciples are, by the Spirit, made for the world, what Jesus was for Israel, calling them both, Israel and the world, back to God. Pentecost, therefore, seems to have two consequences for us. First, it, like the events in Ezekiel, empowers us, despite our sin, despite our weaknesses, despite our failings, despite the fact that we are disconnected, dry, lifeless, to stand before God as a new Israel, a new army, a new people, called by God to be his witnesses in the world and to be his ambassadors to the new creation that has commenced. Secondly, which flows on immediately, our call is to be witnesses. Not in the sense of, well, I've had this spiritual experience and I'd like to share it with you, thank you very much. No, it's much more than that. It is us witnessing to the lordship of Jesus and his complete and total authority over the world. Remember last week I made the comment that one of the problems you have when you misunderstand the ascension, the church takes its place. This is never more true than with Pentecost. If we think that Pentecost is the birthday of the church, then we can simply sit back and say, well, we're in the church and it's here and that's great. Just be in the church and you'll be okay. That's what Jesus wanted, and so let's just get on with churchy things. Except that what we have as the church in its current form, I do not believe for one moment is what Pentecost intended. Pentecost is the empowering of the followers of Jesus, not to just follow, but to continue to learn what Jesus wants us, his followers, to do, and to be obedient to that call. Further, he calls us to tell others about Jesus and why he is Lord and why others should make him Lord as well. It goes something like this. In Luke, which, by the way, we need to remember that Acts is the second volume of Luke's work and is therefore a continuation of what he wrote in the Gospel, and so there will naturally be consistency between the two. Jesus comes out of the wilderness after being tempted. He goes into the synagogue and he calls for the scroll from Isaiah, and he opens to the passage where we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all on the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." Jesus is quoting Isaiah. This was true for Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Isaiah. It was true for Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. And it is now true for the disciples, for the Spirit of the Lord is now upon them. And if it's true for all of them, then it's also true for each and every one of us, For we too have the Spirit of God given to us through our baptism. We have here the form of our witness that we are to participate in as baptized members of the body of Christ, to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee. This is nothing less than new creation. This is the ultimate work of the Spirit, bringing about new creation here in the present time through us and the mission and ministry that Jesus calls each of us to be partners with him in. This new creation is an anticipation of the new creation that will be ushered in by Jesus when he returns to judge the living and the dead. Excuse me. But here's the rub. If we don't know Jesus all that well, then we won't know what the good news is. We will not be able to understand that it is about new creation and our responsibility in it. And if we don't think it's all good news for us, then why would we share it in the first place? If we don't understand release for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, if we don't understand Jubilee, then how on earth are we going to proclaim it for others? I think this is our real issue in the church. We don't know how to proclaim all of that, and that must change. If Pentecost is to mean anything for the church and for us, then we need to come to grips with this shortfall in our understanding. If we don't address this gap, we simply become another arm of social welfare, and that is not what we're called to be. We are called to be the people of God, and we're called to proclaim God and his reign through the person of Jesus in the world. The new creation has started and is coming, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. So we need to get on with it now. The disciples saw Jesus in operation. We haven't. But that doesn't matter, for we have the scriptures. This is our way of understanding and coming to know who Jesus is, why he matters, why he is Lord, and therefore why we should give our lives to him and encourage others to do the same. If we continue to misunderstand Pentecost and simply see it as the birthday of the church and not the starting point for our responsibility to be the people of God, to be proclaiming the commencement of the new creation, which is here and now, but also coming in the future, to be the living witnesses of the joining of heaven and earth through the person of Jesus and the action of the Holy Spirit, then we will miss the critical point. And most importantly and sadly, we will miss the empowering benefits of Pentecost. All we will be left with is a shell of what we are meant to be, hollow and empty and prone to imploding on ourselves as a hollow caricature of what Jesus calls us to be. The only way that we will have the empowering effects of Pentecost on our people in this diocese is by getting serious with our relationship with Jesus, understanding him more and more each day. And that will require reading the scriptures methodically and carefully, each and every day and not just on a Sunday. Putting him as number one in our lives by making sure we have time with him in prayer each and every day, not just on Sunday. And opening ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit and being willing to put away our way of doing things and simply saying to the Lord Jesus, as Isaiah said, to the Lord, here I am, send me. In the name of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.